people, attracting anywhere from 5,000 to 12,000 participants. Sponsoring groups range from community associations and nonprofit corporations to for-profit companies and special interest groups. They use recreation buildings and fields in local parks, as well as hiker-biker trails and regional parks for their venues. And accommodating each group's needs has become an increasing challenge for our park system as we take into account parking, maintenance, noise abatement, security, sanitary services, and cost. And while we already have in place fees, rules, and policies to address some of these events, staff feels that this is the time to review those items and make recommendations to modify them in certain areas. And we want to establish procedures and cost recovery mechanisms that will be equitable both for the commission and also for our customers. And we have indeed looked at the same kind of policies that are in place by our colleagues in both Montgomery County and Prince George's County. In your packet is a list of our existing fees, and I would like to also note that we are also talking about tournaments. When we started looking at this policy, we were primarily looking at field tournaments, but tennis tournaments came to our attention. The rec department used to operate those tournaments, and they are no longer doing that, and so tennis organizations are coming to us asking for facilities to do tennis tournaments, and so we had to have something in place in terms of fees and there is already a policy about tennis tournaments, but some of the fees associated with that, and with that also there are basketball tournaments that are coming onto our property. So this is a good time to sort of look at the whole gamut of special events and tournaments. We are proposing a policy of the Montgomery County Department of Park and Planning of the Commission to offer suitable parks and facilities for use as venues of special events sponsored by government agencies, community groups, nonprofit organizations, and for-profit corporations in exchange for fees that will cover the costs for providing the services and personnel to support the event. And we're defining a special event as that which is offered to the general public.
And I don't want to short circuit what I know will be an excellent presentation, but I think the board has read the packet and understands the proposal. Right. We have one speaker. Okay. Maybe it would be, given the hour, better if we just hear from the speaker and go straight to questions.
Okay.
Thank you.
All right.
The one speaker is Vladimir Oliveira. Come on up, sir.
This is not an action item for us, isn't it? This is just a public forum.
No, this is really just a public forum, and
so
we have one taker so far.
And what happens? I mean, yeah, that's what's going to be my question. What does this mean? It's a public forum. It's a hearing on this, and then we're going to...
Well, let's hear from the speaker first, and then we'll can ask any questions we want.
Right.
Mr. Oliveira, welcome.
Thank you. I'm the commissioner of Adult Men's Amateur Soccer League in Montgomery County, a league that starts on July 4th, 1976, is the oldest league in the county. I've been away for a number of years. I returned to the league, and I found after 14 years' absence something new, which is tournaments that are formed by teams for the purpose of profit. I call it gambling. They may make a bet of $1,000, $2,000 or more, and they play shorter games, and they just hunt for fields, whatever is available. They bring their own referees, the equipment. In no time, they're gone. They start for the whole morning or afternoon or sometimes a whole day, depending on the number of the teams. They bring large numbers of spectators. Alcohol is part of the whole thing. Now, the increased number of new residents coming from below the border to the United States, the press gives over a million a year. I don't know if that's correct. I don't know how many are coming to Montgomery County, but they all have an interest in soccer. And what I've seen now in the last several months is that even this short time, the increased number of new teams who only wants to play for the profit motive. And violence, riot, is on a growing trend. So my comment here is, how can this be controlled, that these tournaments that are done outside in the homes and people who are in the community can be controlled? One of these days, somebody may be killed. People bring arms. I already had a problem October 10th in one day games in Blueberry Park, where outside individuals brought arms, and there was a fight, and police was called. More than 10 police cars came. They couldn't find the arm because they quickly got rid of it. But this could have been a disaster. And now the league is taking the position that we will be paying for off-duty police officers to be there every Sunday. But these wild tournaments, there's nothing. I mean, they're there on their own. So I have a concern for that. I don't know what can be done. If a police comes and checks and they have no permits and they're told to leave, they just move to another place. I just stopped a few weeks ago a group that came in there at 9 in the morning. They were already playing with a large crowd, and they had to leave because we had the permit. But they already talked to themselves, let's check this field, let's check that field. So they just hunt around, even school fields, on a Sunday morning. So if there were laws that the people could not just be told to get out, laws that they could be taken to court, and maybe that might have an impact. Otherwise, we're just waiting for some disaster to come across and explode in the press and all that.
Thank you very much. That is useful, albeit unsettling information.
Yes, it is. I do have one question about it, because we have heard about games like this, but this is the first I've ever heard of there being like a pot or gambling. So you have actually observed that yourself, but they each just they have to put in so much, and then whoever wins the tournament, they get the proceeds and divide it up. Is that how it works?
I was given a list of teams that were interested in joining the league in the fall. When I spoke to them, the first thing they wanted to know how much the winner gets. I said, a trophy. Well, we're not interested in trophies. That's cheap. We mm-hmm. want money.
Oh, you didn't ask them about going to the Internet and getting a permit?
They don't speak English.
Oh, okay.
No English.
Okay.
And a lot of them, they're just newcomers. And many times are some older ones who pick up these newcomers. They want to know those who can play good ball, and they think they can win.
Mm. Well, this is very interesting testimony, and obviously quite troubling. But I guess I'm interested in your thoughts on. Here we've said, well, we'll deal with it by having people get permits in advance. But then your experience is you encounter these teams where you, in fact, have a permit, and the permit requirement doesn't seem to be solving very much.
They don't even if they are aware, they don't care, because they're going to do what they're going to do. And they are not, and they ask them, are you aware of the laws? I says, well, we're just doing this for fun. And they're not going to do anything about it unless if they are forced to, if they end up in court. Now, there's a league, even leagues now. There's one new league, a fairly new league in Montgomery County who plays in Viewersview, and they have a $4,000 fee for team, per tournament, per season.
And yes, I see them every Sunday morning, and they're starting to sell food on the field, too.
That's right.
Yeah,
$4,000 fee per team.
Right, and a restaurant owns that league. That got the idea.
Mm-hmm.
And the crowds are large.
Yeah.
But it does suggest to me we need to, I mean, this is part of the tournament issue is part of a broader issue that we need to figure out the extent we can, I think, to make contact with the groups. If they'll talk, I mean, we can't make people talk to us, but try and figure out strategies to, at least on some people, try that, to fold them into a more legal system.
Right.
That is, by guaranteeing people that, yes, you do have fields, you don't have to drive around the county, but here's where you have to go play. And yes, there'll be a place for enough the cars to park, and yes, you can get a permit for your food service people. So figure out ways that we can make it legal. But it does suggest that permits are only a piece
of
this.
Money is involved. All it takes is one call that one group don't like from a referee, and they immediately accuse the referee is being on the part of the other, and they will invade the field, and you have riots.
Do they pay the referees?
Yes.
Yeah.
They organize the referees that each one agrees who is going to be. But it doesn't matter because the spectators make their own mind whether the referee is fair.
Kind of like the Yankees game.
I was going to say, that's like my MSI soccer days. Parents are a little better than that.
Well, you've been very, very instructive.
Thank you for coming.
Wow, discussion.
Thank you. Any other questions?
Well, my question is for Lieutenant McClintock, rather. And that's, what are you going to do about this, sir?
I'm sorry, this must be the hot seat. Well, the news, I had spoken with the gentleman out prior to the hearing, and a lot of what he had to convey to me was new news, especially the funding, the amount of money that may be exchanged. We are, of course, aware that there has been a longstanding and growing soccer interest in the county. We're starting to see some acts of violence associated with that. I can recall at least one rather serious first-degree assault we had this summer that resulted in significant injury. And I do recall an increase in the amount of situations where you have crowds becoming involved in the games. Based on some of the information we've learned tonight, I think that it fully merits trying to approach the leagues, even if they're impromptu leagues, and seeing what we can gain intelligence-wise, if not, you know, a desire on behalf of the leagues to perhaps fold themselves into more of a legitimate system. It is, however, difficult because we do not control all the fields, obviously. We only control certain fields. So if you have a league or a throw-together for money that's going from field to field, there's a lot of public school fields, there's a lot of other fields, private schools and elsewhere, that they can just show up, hold a one-hour game, and be gone. We have no authority to deal in those. We can only deal in the ones, obviously, that are in the parks. So that complicates issues because we don't have the ability to follow them from area to area to disrupt any of that activity. There are some other things that we can do. We continue to see increased alcohol violations at these types of events. Mm-hmm. The food vendors, as you well know, need to have a license or a permit to sell in the parks. That's something that we can address through ticketing and educational efforts as well. If that's going to help.
Any other questions?
Well, I'd actually like to ask Harry what's happened. I know that Jenny Glong is trying to address this problem, too, and just see if you all have had any luck since we last met.
Certainly, what Officer McClintock just said is very telling. With park police not being able to, not having jurisdiction on school fields, that leaves us kind of without a huge resource for our own benefit. We have to rely on county police, who, of course, have a lot of other things that they're dealing with at the time, and things like alcohol violations and stuff obviously have to come after things like assault. And we have incredible concerns about some of the things, exactly what you're saying about the violence. We did have a situation on a school field, again, with an unpermitted group that walked on. A school staff member came to the school site and saw huge crowds, which concerned, called our weekend supervisor, who provided MCPS security to show up. When security showed up, there was someone holding what they believed was a big, large bag of money who fled the scene as soon as security showed up. So we know what's going on, but you know, we don't have the ability to really do anything about it except when a school staff member or a neighbor or something sees something that looks suspicious and contacts county police. I think part of what was said in here is with the ability to use the fields without a permit, it's really, there has to be, the group has to be doing something wrong to even question them. If there's no alcohol present or any real reason to think that, you know, there's gambling or something else illegal going on, they have the right to be there and often amass these large crowds, which bring about a lot of other problems with, you know, trash and neighbors and disruption and parking. We've looked for a lot of answers, and I'm not sure where the answer is going to come from.
Okay, thanks.
I wanted to add one thought to this, or maybe it's several thoughts. And without getting into the legality of playing for money, one thing that does occur to me on this, and this, we've had this discussion about sort of the bigger issue that this policy is a part of, and that is people who want to use our facilities. And when we put this out as a public document, it needs to be something that starts to say, you're welcome in our parks, we want to help you with your facilities, here's how to get that help, et cetera. So we have work to do on that. But another issue, and it's something that we probably should be focusing on for tonight, is that if, as we mature as a county and we have groups that want to have thousands of people coming to watch soccer games, we're going to need to have a facility to accommodate that. Mm-hmm. We don't have that yet in the down county.
Right,
we have it at the soccerplex.
We do have it at soccer.
But, you know, we probably need more of those kinds of facilities because that's something that's not in our inventory at this point in time.
Well, you can play at a, you know, you could play in a high school football stadium, but I mean, it's something to think about. We can't decide now, but that's very complicated because they can ruin the football field.
In terms of making sure everybody has facilities that they need to meet their interests.
Right.
Actually, that's, I think that we just thought you just touched on something that we may have to figure out, see if there's a way we can work out a deal with the school system to see if there are more, to make more facilities available. And then figure out how to manage them.
And I will tell you, part of the solution to that is to put the artificial turf on some facilities.
Because otherwise, you could ruin them with one soccer tournament. Right. I mean, it's very, very, even in good weather conditions.
Right. Yeah, the schools are the places that have the seats, have the parking,
have the lights, and the fences.
And the fences.
Right.
And so they've got all of the things in place for the larger crowds that Blueberry Hill Local Park does not have.
Right. But I think we have had other conversations about artificial turf and exploring what the possibilities are, and I don't know where
we're still doing that. We're looking at several kinds of surfaces, cost, the environmental impact, and some of those other things. Mark Wallace is the person on our staff that's sort of honchoing that and keeping it in front of us. So more than likely, in the very near future, you'll get some information about that, and we'll try to figure out where we get the money to also do that and where the most apropos place is to do our first one or two locations.
Thank you very much.
You're very welcome.
Just as a technical thought, that if we're going to pursue sometime in the future that, you know, for example, if we have a lease with the school system for the X, Y, or Z field, does that give us sufficient jurisdictional interest that our police force can patrol?
Well, see, the schools, the schools do their, we do some of the fields at certain schools, like Blair, but we only do the...
But does that mean the police can go there and police? That's the question.
Police, we can police them if we have
a
permit.
If we have, yes. If we've got a permit, we can
police. If my memory serves me correctly, I believe Article 28 owns, operates, so that if we have an arrangement where we are operating that facility for a certain period of time, even if it's weekends or what have you, we typically have been okay in that situation.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Okay, thank you very much. I would like a motion for a closed session to discuss disposition of property and to consult with counsel in connection with the Intercounty Connector. The closed session will happen immediately in the third floor conference room.
So moved.
Motion of the... Vice Chair, second of Mr. Bryant. All in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
That's unanimous, and then we will reconvene in public session at 7:30 for our public hearing.